Hello and welcome to Mercury Now, a podcast series brought to you by Mercury Systems. I am your host, Ralph Gavarez, and today's topic, how Mercury and Intel collaborate to bring artificial intelligence to defense. Joining me is Devin Yablonsky, Embedded Processing Principal Product Manager here at Mercury Systems, and a special guest, John Brynjolfsson, who is the Senior Segment Marketing Manager in the IOTG sector at Intel. John, Devin? Good day and welcome.
Thanks, Ralph.
John, we appreciate you joining us today. Could you please give our listeners a brief background on your current role at Intel?
First, you know, thank you very much for inviting me to join in on the podcast today. So I am with Intel Corporation, and I've been part of Intel for a little over 4 years now. I've held a variety of roles, primarily in the aerospace and defense area, being Intel Promote, our efforts within this market's vertical segment. I have worked in sales roles, and for the last year, I've been part of the Internet of Things group as a senior marketing manager, helping, again, with the products that Intel creates for what we call our public sector market verticals.
Thank you, John. Devin, a brief background?
Thanks, Ralph. I'm Devin Yablonsky, and I am a product manager in our embedded product group here at Mercury. I've been here since about 2011 and started in the engineering department and then worked through various functions of our product area, always focusing on our high performance signal processing and now artificial intelligence processing products.
John, artificial intelligence or AI implementation seems a top priority for the defense industry. What is driving this push and why is the defense industry adopting it?
Actually, I think it's a multifaceted answer. I mean, there are multiple factors that are really driving the need for artificial intelligence. You know, on one side, there's the sensor modernization that's gone on the past 10 years have really created an explosion of data, high quality data, that is a good thing, but it also proposes many challenges for the defense industry. You know, essentially really having enough resources to digest a lot of that data. And so one of the many use cases that we've seen in the defense industry is using and developing AI algorithms or machine learning algorithms to really help close that gap between, you know, the receipt of data and to where you can make some kind of decision with that information. So it's, you know, it's impossible for many analysts in the defense industry to really comb through all the data that they get over, you know, in a day, and using these techniques to help streamline that information and enable them to make a more effective decision has been one of the really compelling use cases that has been happening in the defense industry. And then the other element I really would like to touch on is the fact that there is really this enormous breakthrough in different technologies, both software and hardware technologies, that are really allowing these complex neural networks to run these AI algorithms. So, you know, really that explosion of data as well as the technologies that are really finally allowing this to result in some meaningful information for our partners in the defense industry, I think have been some couple key elements.
Thank you, John. Now, Devin, everything is getting smarter with AI. We're seeing evidence of that in our vehicles, smart devices, smartphones, and speakers. How does that translate to the defense space?
Well, as you're seeing in aerospace and defense, they're also investing in many of the same types of technologies, using AI to make the warfighters more efficient and enhance national security. So we're seeing this in every type of asset out there, from air to ground to sea. And a huge drive is that big data wave that John was talking about, which is coming from an explosion in the amount of sensors and the autonomy that we want to add. And that's all about allowing for less human interaction, allowing for less skilled remote control operators of unmanned vehicles. And ultimately, it's all to limit the likelihood of human error and often to react more quickly to the emerging threats. This demand is really driven by the artificial intelligence advancements in the commercial and consumer industry over the past 5 to 10 years. The defense space, without question, kind of requires a higher quality result than most other areas in the consumer world with the criticality of our missions. And that's why we're just starting to see it play a more dominant role in our space. the algorithms are finally reaching a point where they're able to make really intelligent, reliable learnings and inference in near real time. And Intel's product lines with their CPUs, FPGAs, artificial intelligence ASICs like the Mobius chip and others, they're really key to executing on that. And the translation really needs to happen fast. The other nations are rapidly adopting these capabilities and demonstrating their effectiveness.
Now, you mentioned developing and deploying technology at speed. My question is, how are Intel and Mercury uniquely positioned to support AI applications? John, we'll start with you.
You know, really, Intel's perspective is there is no one-size-fits-all solution for every AI algorithm or every AI application. And I think one of the unique offerings Intel brings is really that broad set of hardware solutions that allow customers to develop systems and platforms that meet their individual size, weight, and power, ruggedization features for their specific environment. And as Devin mentioned, you know, it's not just Intel CPUs, right? We have a whole portfolio of products, including FPGAs, our accelerators. And then one of the other key elements is the software technologies that helps tie all that together. You know, we believe Intel is very unique in the breadth of offering between hardware and software to really allow our customers to develop and implement their AI applications.
Thank you. Devin, your input?
So the defense market has very similar capabilities as the consumer product world, but our challenges are significantly different. We have to account for much harsher physical environments, radically different attack vectors, and higher stakes on those results. And meeting these has always traditionally meant a lot of development time to make a deployable system. So at Mercury, we're uniquely built the capability to make commercial data center and cloud capabilities, like what is needed for artificial intelligence, profoundly accessible to this market. And we do that within what I like to call the period of technological relevance. This is the time from when a technology like a new AI algorithm and chip is deployable out into an integrated solution in the field, and considers both when it's likely to be dated by the newer capabilities that are out there that would render it irrelevant, and also when the adversaries would deploy similar capabilities or countermeasures. But we need to be able to take this great processing, storage, networking technologies, and add all those features of ruggedization, security, safety certifications in time for it to be relevant. And one of the most critical aspects of this is getting early access to the latest and greatest silicon to begin our development of those capabilities. So the partnership with Intel has really enabled us to bring their latest technology to benefit the warfighter faster than most others can. So we can do a lot with even just early samples that aren't even functional to help us develop mechanical and electrical solutions so that when technology becomes available, we can deploy it into our environment really quickly.
Thank you. Now, Intel and Mercury are working together to bring the latest commercial data center processing to the fog and the edge. Can you speak more on that, John? We'll start with you.
You know, one of the things, and Devin touched on this previously, is that, you know, close interaction between our organizations, you know, to rapidly integrate and deploy AI COTS technologies into the field, we collaborate very closely on our roadmaps. We collaborate on, you know, providing early access to a lot of the products before they're generally available. So that would enable Mercury to implement and develop their products in line with our product development. And I think really more importantly is this, we have a very close engineering relationship. We sync quite closely development engagements around Intel's hardware-based security. You know, that depth of knowledge is critical for Mercury to understand how that works, so they then can integrate that with their own, with, you know, your own unique IP expertise, and ultimately giving the customer a more secure product. You know, one of the other areas that we engage very deeply on is also in the area of flight safety processing, where, you know, to have have a Intel multi-core CPU that is for flight safety, processing applications, really requires a very in-depth knowledge and understanding of Intel products. And that's the level of relationship we have with Mercury to really give the end user in the defense industry that end product that will work in their multitude of different applications.
Now, John, what security concerns does artificial intelligence raise?
Well, there's quite a few, actually. You know, the two that really kind of stand out for me is, you know, that what we call trusted AI. As a user is relying on an AI algorithm, you know, how do they know that the results that they're getting, you know, that AI algorithm may say, hey, that's a truck. How do they know that that is real? It hasn't been tampered with. You know, one of the other safety concerns is types of products that Mercury develops are in that edge environment. They're not in a secure data center with guards and fences around them. These are out in the field where they could easily be accessed by adversaries. And so with that in mind, you know, how do you ensure that those adversaries can't get into the hardware and, you know, back reverse engineer how that algorithm works? So either they steal that information for themselves or figure out how to counter that type of information. So those are two big concerns that we hear about certainly in from the defense market segment.
Thank you. Now, Devin, staying with the security concerns, there have been reports of widely accessible unregulated commercial technologies being harnessed by unauthorized individuals and exploited through vulnerabilities. What must be done to alleviate those concerns?
Yeah, Ralph, these concerns are really important, and John started to touch on it there. I find artificial intelligence really interesting around this because what you're doing is you're creating a solution that to varying degrees can think like a human that was trained on an extraordinarily amount of data, more than a human could actually ever process. And most of that data in these cases will have probably been classified in nature or very strategic. Fortunately, deep neural networks that are used for artificial intelligence today, they do obfuscate the data that's put into them pretty well. The actual model's hard to decipher what's inside of it. But you can imagine if you could pick up that equipment and find out what the inputs and outputs were, you could realistically steal that brain, and that contains all of that information balled inside of it. And that's even more valuable than the data that was until now pretty unmanageable. So you can see how that security threat's even more real today. In terms of protecting from that threat, commercial consumer technologies are very different. Most of the protection in the cloud and data center are from cybersecurity hacks over the internet or physically loading of software onto the device. Most of the assets we work on are not connected to those wide area networks. And at the end of the day, they're very likely to end up actually physically in an adversary's possession. So that's the threat we're trying to protect from. And processing systems, therefore, must be totally trusted. Trusted hardware, software, middleware, the integration and the support of it. And being able to do all that securely really mitigates the risk of those hardware vulnerabilities impacting the product quality or reliability.
Thank you, Devin. John, what bottlenecks must be overcome to make AI enabling edge hardware?
You know, certainly there are a couple key ones. I know that, you know, one of the key challenges is the end user may have a variety of different hardware solutions that they're deploying at the edge, having to, you know, prune and tune their algorithms for each unique hardware application is a lot of work. And personally, from the Intel perspective, you know, we believe software is a key element in that. And, you know, having a unified software stack that will allow you to take your models and optimize it and run across different hardware solutions is, you know, a key element. You know, ultimately, it comes back to how do we make it easier for the end user to deploy their AI algorithms at the edge? And, you know, there's a lot of work going into that area. Certainly, we believe the software is certainly a key element and making that better, easier to use is certainly one key element to have more end users deploy AI algorithms at the edge.
Thank you, John. Devin, your thoughts?
Our market really requires more performance at the edge than most others you see. Networks to larger compute platforms and data centers are really not that reliable in the defense in the field, and they're a key target. So we need to assume that our endpoints need to have a fair amount of fully independent function. The sensors are capturing data at higher resolution, farther and wider, and at many spectrums compared to even what you see in some of the advanced self-driving vehicles in the commercial world today. So our customers are demanding for this data center capability, like what Intel and other silicon vendor partners offer, at size, weight, and power constrained endpoints, and an embedded and embedded plus kind of environment. So for example, the Intel Xeon Scalable processors, those are the highest performance Xeons that Intel offers in the data center, and those typically aren't thought of as an embedded processor. Our customers are asking for that because they can't actually send data back to a data center with those processors. They need to potentially have that capability on the platform. And that's the same for high-performance FPGAs and other types of accelerators. So it's imperative that the ruggedization and the other security and safety aspects we apply to these products don't negatively impact their performance either, but still ensures that survivability in those austere field environments.
Now, Devin, how do commercial off-the-shelf technologies, COTS we mentioned earlier, simplify integration and improve, you know, interoperability?
So fundamentally, COTS products and modular open standards are together about multiple vendors coming together to build a best-of-breed solution that is capable, cost-effective, and can be maintainable and upgradable throughout what is typically a long, useful life cycle. As a subsystem design and integrator like us at Mercury, leveraging these standards allow us to build the right system for the need from a huge ecosystem of trusted hardware, software, and tools, both that we create as well as others. Within the product lines we offer, we focus on creating leverageable commercial off-the-shelf products from the scale of components, technology building blocks, and then multi-use modules to design and integrate these subsystems to meet the latest commercial off-the-shelf standards. And this methodology allows us to develop a high-performance system that meets both today's and tomorrow's needs. And by using these commercial off-the-shelf solutions, we're also able to leverage commercial investments and capabilities like what Intel provides, because they will be code and performance portable to our end solution.
Thank you, Devin. Now, John, give our listeners a glimpse into the future. What are Intel and Mercury working towards to support the AI evolution?
As you look out where, you know, the AI evolution is going, one of the key characteristics certainly is, you know, performing a lot of your AI algorithms at the edge. And certainly being at the edge, there are a variety of end-use applications and needs. The environments are very different. Devin talked about that. One of the things we're looking for in the future is having more products available that can meet a wider variety of end-use field conditions. So, for example, like extended temperature, which would allow our partners like Mercury to have a more robust, ruggedized end product with a variety of different elements. If those elements are the FPGAs or CPUs or any kind of accelerator. That's one thing that Intel is looking as we look out in the future. I think the other that is pretty obvious is really building in more acceleration, AI algorithm acceleration capabilities into our products. And some items that have been that are out already include Intel Deep Learning Boost. There's Vector Neural Network Instruction Sets, VNNI, and AVX, really things that can be used to help the acceleration of the algorithms. Deep Learning Boost is a great example of a built-in accelerator that you know, can be leveraged within Intel products. So do you really need to have another component on your board when you have that already within your Intel product? So, you know, that's an example of what's there today. And I can tell you that there are more things to come in that area. So that is certainly one area that Intel is putting a lot of efforts into as we expand out our products over the next 5 to 10 years.
Thank you, John. That's very exciting. Devin, your thoughts?
Working with Intel has been amazing for the past decade or so of products we've been developing with them, and we do expect that to just to get even better over time. I think we're expecting to continue to integrate the highest performance processing, memory, networking, and even storage capabilities in these secure, safe, and low size, weight, and power environments we've been discussing. This will involve more dense capabilities than ever and really stretching the limits there, handling more challenging requirements like temperature John was talking about and more advanced shock and vibe, and really being able to, at the end of the day, turn the screws on being able to develop solutions more quickly. This artificial intelligence market, they say it's doubling every 3 months, and that means we really need to get our products out there quicker, so we're going to find every way we can do that together, and Intel's a great partner in that regard. Another interesting step, John did talk about OpenVINO earlier, and I think we're seeing that there's a need for more integration of the development and runtime tools that support artificial intelligence. Intel's OpenVINO is particularly interesting to us because in order to provide efficient code solutions, so really to drive down that size, weight, and power of a system, the software needs to be efficient. And there's a lot of different kinds of processor technology, FPGA, accelerators, that are all good for certain purposes, and we need to make the best use of those. So if we can enable our customers to be able to develop and run their application with optimal efficiency, that's going to be really powerful. So I'm looking forward to more integration of that layer of the software stack to support our customers.
Gentlemen, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you both for joining me today. I look forward to the progress with the Intel and Mercury relationship. Once again, thank you both for your time. I wish you the best of luck moving forward and Godspeed. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph.
This has been another edition of Mercury Now, a podcast series brought to you by Mercury Systems. I'm your host, Ralph Gavarez, signing off.